Tonight I'd like to invite you back over to the book of Judges chapter 2 verse 1. Judges chapter 2 verse 1. All right, Judges chapter 2 verse 1 reads this way. It says that an angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I made you to go up out of Egypt and have brought you into the land which I swear unto your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you, and ye shall make no leagues with the inhabitants of the land. Ye shall throw down their altars, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? And then skip over to verse 15. Whithersoever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil, as the Lord had said, and as the Lord had sworn unto them, and they were greatly distressed. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, once again we come before your throne asking for your blessings tonight on the service, on your word. Lord, on your people, that we might hear from you and worship you in spirit and in truth. We pray, Lord, for the blessing of the Holy Spirit to guide our hearts and minds, that we might hear from you and that you would strengthen the faith that you've given to us, that we might be able to be the witnesses you've called us to be of your great grace. Bless the service tonight. May you be honored and glorified, and may each one here be blessed. And we'll thank you, for we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. So tonight, again, the title of the message is An Important Question and a Promise Fulfilled. This is the second part of our morning service, and this is important because God wants his people in the place that he has called them to be in, and that is to be the servants of the Lord that would glorify his name and that would be able, listen, the child of God, I say, ought to be able to say, Lord, created my heart a zeal for the Lord with knowledge, that you might give me a zeal for the things of God, that I might know how to humbly walk with you in your grace. And that's where the difference is made when we are expecting, calling upon the Lord and expecting him to fulfill his will. It's God's will, so you hear people say, well, I hope that's the will of God. Well, know this, it is the will of God for God's people to be empowered by the grace of God to walk in his ways. God knew from the very beginning we would never be able to do it in our own strength, and therefore has provided the way for each and every one of us to walk with him. So they were having these battles. I think as we consider this portion of Scripture, we're reminded that all Scripture is given to us for reproof, correction, edification, doctrine, all the good things that God has listed for us here. And so we looked at this morning, brought to the place of sacrifice. God brought them to the place to be sorrowful for their rebellion after witnessing and experiencing God's great faithfulness. Let me ask you tonight, have you ever experienced God's great faithfulness? Amen? And so that's where God wants us to live, in God's great faithfulness, knowing that he is faithful all the time. Not just some of the time, God is always faithful and works things out for his honor and glory and for our blessing. Let me ask you this question. Have you ever experienced a need in your life that you asked God to fulfill, and you had in your mind a certain way that you expected or wanted God to answer your prayer, and God answered your prayer not as you thought, but even to a greater extent? Amen? That is God's great faithfulness. Lord, thank you. Now, I will tell you this, just so that you know, it is natural. It's not supernatural, but it is natural to fret a little bit, to be a little bit anxious sometimes. Now, we don't have to. The more we see God's working in our lives, the more we can rest in the assurance of God's great faithfulness. So God is wanting to work in your life continually in a constant basis so that we can with confidence not fret. So sometimes it just takes line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, to gain that confidence in the Lord. And that's where the Lord wants us to be. So we saw this morning, brought to the place of sacrifice. We took a look at also the place to see all of the great works of the Lord. And then tonight I want to finish up with out from God's protection and the consequence of sin. And then also we see the love of God. And I showed you that there in verse 16 this morning, but we'll look at it briefly once again. So this is God's great faithfulness. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. And some people might say, oh, listen, Lord, I don't know
why are all these trials, why do all these difficulties come into my life? And that is, the truth is, because he loves us. And that's just going to have to be something that we just by faith put our trust in the Lord, because he doesn't forsake us. So some people would look at this and see, my goodness, I don't know if I want God to be my God. But know this, he never forsook Israel. He chastened them just like a loving parent would chasten a child from doing the wrong thing. Don't you love to go to Walmart and hear these young little kids screaming at the top of their lungs because they want something? You ever see? Raise your hand if you ever witnessed that. You ever seen that? Yeah, hands all over the building. And you would. In fact, I think one of my kids one time said, and they were little, said to me, "That's Dad. That's embarrassing." And they were embarrassed for the parent. And then one time one of my kids said to me, man, Dad, if we'd have done that, you'd have killed us. They knew that there would be consequences for misbehavior. How did they know that? I did not have to worry about that. Do you know why? Because they got it at home. You don't have to, listen, out in public is not the place for correction. Take care of it in the home. Listen, the reason why they're unruly at the store or at a restaurant is because they're unruly at home. And they're allowed to do it. So, look at our society today. Is it ruly or unruly? Why? Because the laws of the land have faulted the police or the law keepers instead of the lawbreakers. And so if the laws are broken, we ought to punish the law keepers, right? Well, my goodness, no, we shouldn't. But that keeps everybody. Now, listen, are there some law keepers that shouldn't be law keepers? Yeah. But I would say they are far and few in between in comparison to the lawbreakers, wouldn't you? There's a lot more lawbreakers, and we need to have law in order to have order. And so God is a God of order. And he says, this is the way of blessing. And like a faithful parent, a heavenly father, if you break that way, because I love you, I will be there. And I will go ahead and I will chasten you. And if I don't chasten you, then you better take a look and see if God is your heavenly father. Otherwise, we are illegitimate children, the Bible tells us. So let's consider some things here. Just by recapping real quickly, look at verse 7 here. And look at this place to see all of the great works of the Lord. Look at verse 7, it says this. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua. Why did they serve him? Because notice, who had seen all the mediocre works, the minuscule works of the Lord. Is that what it says? No. They had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. So here's the question. What is God doing for you today? Because he wants to do something for you. You know what he wants to do? He wants to show you the way, which is he is the way, and he is the life, and he is the truth. And he wants us to walk in him and not to believe the lie of the world, the devil, or the flesh. He says, choose to walk in my ways and I will bless you. I will bring you peace. I will give you victory over the sins that would beset us. And so here's the opportunity every day for you and I to say, God, today I'm going to trust you to deliver me. Amen? He has delivered me. He is delivering me, and he will yet deliver in the future. Amen? And so God says, trust me today and watch what I will do. So every day, every child of God ought to say, first thing in the morning, God, today I have confidence in you. You are going to deliver me. I will make a covenant with my eyes, with my heart, and with my mind not to look at the things or to think about the things that are ungodly. Now, Lord, I can't do that, but you can. And so, you know what? You go half the day and you start praising God because he's delivered. And we thank the Lord and we have an opportunity for worship. And then all of a sudden we get through the whole day, and guess what we've experienced? God's deliverance, just like David did with the lion and the bear. So then when we face a bigger obstacle or trial or giant, we can with confidence approach the giant knowing that the Lord will deliver. Let me ask you a question. Do you think David went out there and fought that giant because he said, man, you ought to see me throw a rock? Is that what you think David said? No, he said, the Lord will deliver you into my hand. You come out against me with gods that are no gods. I'm coming to you in the name of the one true God, the God of Israel. And who won? May we walk with that kind of confidence. Now watch this. Look at verse 8. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of the inheritance of his inheritance in Timnath-Ares in the Mount of Ephraim on the north side of the hill Gash. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose, listen, and there arose another generation after them. Here's the difference, which knew not the Lord, nor yet, listen, the works which he had done for Israel. There's no experience in their life. So what happened? They turned away from God because there's no experience in their life. You and I will do the same thing. Well, let me ask you this. This is a good question. Do you want to experience God in your life? Amen? That's one of us, right? Or maybe I've seen a couple heads nod. That's two. Let me try that again. Do you want to experience God in your life? Amen? Because that's where the difference is made. So how do I do that? Well, I find out what God is wanting to do in my life. And then I say, Lord, I am trusting you to fulfill that in me. You've called me to be a peculiar person. You've called me to go ahead and reprove darkness with your light and in your love, that they might see the difference that you make in my life. And so, what am I going to do? Am I going to go after what the world is going after? Go after the gods that the world is going after? Try to reason with the world as they see things? Or do I stand on the rock? That's where the difference is made. And so if we're committed to standing on the Lord and his truth and his way and what he said, God says, now I'm going to show you. Go ahead and step up to the brink. Go ahead and approach the Red Sea and see if God doesn't open up a way. Now, remember what I asked you before? Have you ever had a need in your life and you had an idea how you thought it should be answered? And there's nothing wrong in that. Lord, this is what I need, and this is, you know, what I'm asking you to do. And God does it even better than you anticipated or expected. That's God's deliverance. That's God showing you his faithfulness. And so with that said, if he's done big things for me in my life or important things, will he not also take care of all the other little things that are important in life? He will. All right? So this is the place to see. We have to see these works of God in our lives on a daily basis, or we're not going to stand. And that's the problem. Listen, I'm afraid Christianity has become, unfortunately, this idea that, well, I've trusted Christ as my Savior, I have eternal life, and maybe true, but that's, I don't need anything else. Now I'll just live life for me. Now I'll just wait, you know, for live life, and then I'll have heaven. Well, something's missing in that, don't you think? There's something wrong in that. Well, how do you know that, Brother George? My goodness, just look at our society. God's not asked the world to be the light. God's asked his people. And again, it's becoming dark. So God is wanting light in our lives, is he not? And his life in us. We don't have to worry about everything else. If we're not careful, here's what the devil would have us to do. Well, the Bible says it's just going to get worse and worse, so let's just go with it. Right? Let's just go with it. Well, if you have a problem in your life, just go with it. Don't try to fix it. Right? I mean, something, you know, breaks in your car, just leave it on the side of the road. Don't try to fix it. No, you would try to fix it. Why? Because you need it, and something's wrong, and so you're going to fix it until it gets fixed. because you use it. And the greatest gift we've been given to use is the salvation that God has given to us that is supposed to change us. So watch this. Ready? Verse 11. And here we see out from God's protection. Verse 11 says this, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. Why? Because they didn't see the works that he had done for Israel. And notice this, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. Why did they serve Balaam, a false god? Because they did not see the work of God in their own life. They turned. Listen, what use is our relationship with Christ if it's doing nothing for us? I would dare say you might have something of value that you haven't seen in a long time. You ever do that? Clean up and you say, wow, I forgot I had that. You ever done something like that? Man, I wish I'd have known about that. I would have used it. I forgot, set it off to the side, got covered up, and forgot about it. It's a shame for God's people to do that in their relationship with the Lord, to forget about what God wants to do. But yet here we find Israel doing that. And when that took place, listen, when we forsake God, we're going to go somewhere else and it's not going to be good. Our hope is to find fulfillment, peace, and happiness somewhere. And if we don't find it in the Lord and don't trust him to provide it for us, we're going to look for it somewhere else. Via the internet, via some kind of hobby. And I'm not saying that these things are wrong. But they are wrong if they take the place of God. They become what the Bible calls an idol. And it will take our hearts. We'll be more committed to that. And God will go farther. We'll drift. We will drift. God doesn't move anywhere, but we will drift further and further away from the Lord. So, verse 11, and the children did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. Verse 12, and they forsook the Lord, God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods, of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. I wonder what the Lord thinks about what's going on in our society. What do you think? Question, just for you to think about. What do you think the Lord thinks about our society? It's a mess, isn't it? How did we get here? Do you know we don't have meaningful conversation anymore? We don't have meaningful conversation anymore. Not really. Not like we used to. You find people walking around today with their chins on their chest and their hands up like, I don't know, what are those animals that don't have, like kangaroos, you know, they don't have very long front arms. They just kind of look, you know, looking down. Their hands are on their phones, on their computers. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, unless it takes our time. And it's not necessarily that we're doing bad things but we're missing out on relationships with God, with one another. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with technology today. I think if we're not careful, we get absorbed in that. You know, they say that this young generation doesn't need friends. They don't need friends. And the reason why they don't need friends is because they're self-entertained through the phone. They've got all, you know what I'm saying? And I'm not saying these things are wrong. Maybe they are. I don't know enough about them. But they, you know, how many likes did I get? How many views did I get? How many, you know, this is the new gratification. How do people see me? How does God see us? Oh my goodness, look what they're looking for fulfillment in life. They're not looking to me. Who are they looking to if it's not God? Themselves? The world? What's happened? And so when we don't see God working in our lives, we'll turn to other things. So they forsook the Lord. In verse 12, notice this in verse 13, and they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. Listen to that. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. Boy, I'd say he's upset. And he delivered them into the hands of the spoilers that spoiled them, and he sold them into the hands of their enemies round about, so that they could not any longer stand before their enemies. I wonder if that's going on. Listen, I wonder if that's really happened to America, because America, believe it or not, I know we're not taught this anymore, was a nation under God. That's what we professed. We had founding fathers that revered the God of Israel, the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, the principles that... So did you know this? Here's what I heard recently. Maybe you heard this. Do you know that your rights are given to you by government? This is a teaching today. Our nation has been founded upon freedoms that have been given to us by the government. Well, that's a lie. The Bible says that we've been endowed with certain unalienable, we say, but it's unalienable. You can't put a lien on them, rights that have been given to us by our Creator, our God. Remember this morning that the politicians, they're just your neighbors, is all that they are. They have no business in your business. They can't even run their own business. Their whole answer to everything is throw more money at it. How good is that working for us? No, it's not working. So who's it up to? Well, my goodness, pray for the politicians. Forget about that. I mean, don't, you know, pray for them by all means. But the Bible says, if my people... See, we forget about, oh, please, and we should pray for them. Don't get me wrong, that's a biblical concept. But more importantly is us. Where are we at? God, listen, God's giving us a wake-up call. But here's what happens. I'm convinced of it. Listen, things will pan out. What would we do concerning our relationship with the Lord? Will it change if gas comes back down to $2 a gallon? Will that change our relationship? If there's baby formula back on the shelves? No, we'll forget God even more. We'll say, okay, everything's good now. Let's just keep going. See, there's something that has been wrong for longer than just the last couple of years. And just because things are working out right for us physically doesn't mean that they're right before the Lord. I would dare say that Israel, when they turned to Balaam and Ashtaroth, things were probably going all right for them. And then God says, I'm going to put a stop to that and get your attention. And so I think God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, don't you? Now watch this, ready? So they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth, and the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he delivered them into the hands of the spoilers, and notice that spoiled them, and he sold them into the hands of their enemies round about, so that they could not any longer stand before their enemies. Whithersoever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil, as the Lord had said, and as the Lord has sworn unto them. And notice this, and they were greatly distressed. Why? Because we serve an unkind God? No, because he loved them. Do we believe that? I wonder how we see those things. I wonder how we think, how God works in our lives. What's his purpose? What is he trying to do? Listen to this, ready? That's the consequence of sin. God gives us over to the things that we think we're going to find fulfillment in. And they end up being a snare to us. Proverbs 28:5 says this, listen. Evil men understand not judgment, but they that seek the Lord understand all things. He didn't say those that know the Lord as their Savior understand all things. No, listen. But they that seek the Lord understand all things. If you seek the Lord, what are you going to do? What did Jesus say? If you seek the Lord, if you seek me, you'll what? Amen. Amen. That's absolutely true. If you seek the Lord, you'll find him. And if you find the Lord, you're walking with him. And you're experiencing him. And that's exactly what he wants for your life and mine. Notice this, and we're finished. Ready? Proverbs 11:5 says this. the righteousness of the perfect, or the mature, shall direct his way. The righteousness of the perfect is the righteousness of God. That's what's going to direct our way, not ourselves, not our effort, but God. But the wicked shall fall by his own wickedness. That is the principle of God. You know, I don't know on this side of eternity. I will just tell you this. People that are corrupt don't live a peaceable life. The Bible says they're always looking over their shoulder like a lion's after them, and nobody's chasing them. They are. They live in fear. But here's the problem. Listen, the little gratification that the criminal gets in breaking the law and stealing something, a robber, keeps them coming back for something that will never fulfill them. Why would you? So today, unfortunately, and I don't know, maybe it's died off, I hope so, the young people in the inner cities think it's cool to be a gang member. Why? Because they drive all these fixed up cars, and meanwhile, there are gang wars, and if we really knew how many of them were dying because of their greed of what the other person has. Is that life? Is that really what life is all about? To lose your life, physical life, and your well-being? Wouldn't it be a whole lot better for us to be content with godliness? The Bible says is great gain, and he will provide for my needs. I am so glad that none of my kids bought into that lie. I am so glad. Now, why did they buy into the truth? Because mom and dad pointed them in that direction. And listen, I hope they see something. That verdict is still out when they have their own families, what they will show their families. Do they listen, somewhere in life, all of us have to make this decision. The God of my friend or my family is now my God. Just like Ruth did with Naomi. Your God is my God. Your people, my people. Where you die, that's where I'll die. Why? Because of what she saw in Naomi's life concerning her God. Do you think Ruth believed that Naomi's God was real? Yeah. How did she experience that? I think Naomi had such a love for Ruth, don't you? Like her own daughter. That Ruth said, you've shown me something I've never seen. And that is of great value to where I'm willing to leave my home and my family and follow you with no expectations. Did Ruth expect to get married? She went with no expectations. She went as an outsider that did not know where she was going. Is that faith? But what kind of faith was it? She was enjoying the relationship and the fellowship. Do you know if we enjoy the Lord, we won't be expecting anything else. We won't be looking for... And I'm not saying that having things is wrong. Please don't misunderstand me. But if we can allow the Lord to be our all, isn't that what God wants it to be? We can't do that. God does that for us. God brings us to a place to where we say, truly, God, you are worthy. Truly, God, you awe me. I am amazed at what you do for me. And again, I am not saying that things are wrong. Job, wealthiest, if not the wealthiest man, you know, at that time, Abraham, Joseph. There's nothing wrong with that unless that's what we're living for. Unless that's what life is all about. Because if that's what life's all about, then we start doing things like King Ahab did when he wanted, whose vineyard did he want? Naboth's vineyard. And Jezebel said, I'll get it for you. Here's what we'll do. And they conspired and set up Naboth to look like he blasphemed the Lord. She was a liar. And had him killed. I don't think Naboth has any regrets in eternity. Do you? None. See, this life is brief. I'm finding that out more and more at its longest. At its longest. And God says, I want to be there for every need that you have, if you'll just trust me. Don't look to yourself. Don't look to things. Look to the Lord. Listen to this, and we're done with this. God turned the people against Israel. And verse 15 says, whithersoever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil, as the Lord had said, and as the Lord had sworn unto them, and they were greatly distressed. Nevertheless, verse 16, the Lord raised up judges. Why? Because he loved them, which delivered them out of the hand of those that spoiled them. Does God want to deliver us? Yeah, he does. He wants to deliver us from the spoiler. Do you know who the spoiler sometimes is? Ourselves. Ourselves. We think we know. We don't know what one day holds. We don't know what one day holds. We're here today. We have no idea what tomorrow brings. But our God does. And here's the wonderful part. And he loves us. And one day, fathom this thought. Forever, we will look into the face of our God. We will see the promises of God completely fulfilled, and it will just be getting started. And it will never end. I don't understand that. It will always just be getting started with our God in eternity. I love what Brother Bill said, and I know I've said it more than once, but I love the illustration he shared with me. It'll be like God drawing back the curtain and awing us some more. And when he's pulled that curtain back, he'll pull it back again and show us something more. And because he's infinite and eternal, there's no end. Oh, the presence of God, what the world does not understand. And we don't either yet, but we can trust our God. What a day that will be. Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your great grace and love for your people. Lord, I pray that you would do a work in our hearts and minds, that we might turn to you and look to you and call upon you to show us your great works in our lives on a daily basis, that we would not have any need to turn in any other direction, but that we would hunger and thirst to turn to you. Bless the invitation, bless your people, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.